Hi, and welcome to the She Hit Refresh podcast, a podcast for women age 30 years and over who want to break free from routine and start a life of travel. I'm your host, Seppi Rhymes with Peppy. First off, I just want to thank you so much for listening to the first season of the She Hit Refresh podcast. Thank you so much to everyone. We did it. You know, in January, I set out to record 6 episodes and give this idea for a podcast that I had been sitting on since the summer of 2017 ago. I wasn't sure how long I would stick with it, but here we are, closing the season with episode 13 and a season 2 already in the works. So thank you so much again for all of your support. I hope you've enjoyed the She Hit Refresh podcast as much as I have. We've had so many phenomenal guests share their insights, tips, and advice on how to hit refresh. And today, to help us wrap up the season, we have a special guest, Lizette Austin. She's an award travel expert and podcast host. She's learned how to rack up millions of airline miles and hotel points using regular household spending and travel credit card sign-up bonuses. And she saved herself over $100,000 in travel costs. She's even got a course to teach you how. It's called Jet Set 101, Becoming a Travel Hacker. And she's got an award-winning podcast called the Globetrotter Lounge Podcast, where she has conversations with diverse women who have found creative ways to travel more. And I'm honored to have been a guest on her podcast, episode 14. You can find the link in the show notes. Okay, without further ado, let's rock season 1's last episode. All right, Lizette, great to have you here on the She Hit Refresh podcast.
So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. And for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with who you are, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you do?
Yeah, so I am an award travel expert, basically meaning that I've done a lot of travel hacking and earning miles, airline miles, and hotel points. I'm also a podcast host. With those two things, I just love helping people travel more. So yeah, that's in a nutshell.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's actually how I came across you. I was listening to your podcast and I thought, oh, wow, I would love to be a guest on her podcast. And I reached out. So I was actually a guest on yours, and I'll drop the link in the show notes for people to listen to.
Yeah, that was a great episode. So I was so excited when you pitched to me. I'm like, this is perfect. So I loved having you on the show, and thank you so much for having me now on yours.
Yes, I'm excited for this episode because travel rewards is not something I'm so familiar with. I do have a card that I use and I do get airline points, but I haven't been that strategic. So I'm really excited to hear what you have to say and your insight on this for our audience. So let's start with, because I read that in 2012 is when you learned how to rack up millions of airline miles and hotel points using just your regular household spending and travel credit card, sign-up bonuses. Like, what happened in 2012? Why did this start then? And how did you figure out how to do this?
Yeah, okay, good question. So in 2012, I was in a position where my husband had switched professions. And why this is important, he had been a carpenter. We were able to run a lot of his overhead through travel reward credit cards. And really, it was just one card at that point. It was an Alaska Airlines card. And we would maybe put $50,000 on the card every year because he would remodel people's bathrooms and kitchens. And that was pretty cool. It was at least 2 flights a year domestic. We like to travel. And I did do a little bit of international travel here and there. But when we did that, we had to pay out of pocket mostly for the flights. But I just really counted on those extra miles. And that went away. He pursued his passion. He's a professional photographer. And the overhead just wasn't there. So I was feeling frustrated and wishing I could, you know, maybe work for an airline, you know, company, or get a job that would fly me around so I could rack up miles and points. And I just started poking around online, I think, and just saying, you know, how do I get more miles? How do I do this? There's got to be something, or maybe I should just open a different card. And I came across this website called Million Mile Secrets, still out there. He's doing great things. It was basically a guy and his wife who were explaining that they had opened a bunch of credit cards and they had earned over 1 million miles and points within a year. And I was like, are these people nuts? Like, what are they talking about? But I read everything they had to say and I decided that I would try doing the same thing, but not to get 1 million miles. I was just like, well, okay, there's a few good tips here, but I'll do a little bit. And before I knew it, I was off and running and it worked. And I went over the 1,000,000 mile mark my first year.
What? Oh my gosh. For anyone listening who's not sure like what the quantity of miles, what they can give you. For example, with my credit card, for me to go from Madrid to the US is about 60,000 miles for one round trip. So with over 1,000,000 miles, like you can travel so much. This is incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty revolutionary for me because again, I was used to getting 50,000 in a year and I thought that was pretty good. I mean, I think a lot of people take that route where they use their one credit card that they're, you know, maybe the company they're loyal to and they get some miles and points from that. But really, I was blown away by how many more miles and points I could get using some of these strategies. And you're right. I suddenly could fly all over the place and I started doing that. And people noticed. They were like, did you get an inheritance? Like, why are you traveling internationally so much all the time now? That's how I started helping other people do it too, because awesome. I started explaining.
Wow. Okay. So can you explain exactly how you were racking up the miles? How does this work?
Okay. Yeah. So this is going to be sort of a like top level overview. Try to keep it quick because there's a lot to it. But the basic premise is that you are opening multiple travel reward credit cards and meeting what is called a minimum spend. So they might require maybe $3,000 within 3 months to then receive a bonus of usually a chunk of miles or, you know, hotel points or bank reward points. And so by opening multiple cards over fairly, not like you're not doing it all at once all the time, but over a period of time, you'll get multiple bonuses. The main thing is that you are doing this in a way that you are not going into debt. You're not paying interest. You basically don't have to even worry too much about things like your credit score if you're doing it properly. You also don't have to do it to a big scale. But some of us, you know, travel hackers, I don't know. I feel like these days, sometimes it doesn't sound so good to say hack, like to be a hacker. But anyway, travel hackers who do this to a very large degree might open, you know, 5 or 6 cards at a time. But it's all based on how much you can spend realistically and not just giving all your money to the bank, because that would defeat the purpose.
I see. And so when you open all these cards, how soon can you start earning the rewards?
Basically, as I mentioned, there's a minimum spend. So imagine you open a United card and it's requiring that you spend $2,000 or $3,000 within 3 months. Let's say you did have a big bill. You know, that's always a good time to do this, by the way. If you have that big home remodel project or if you have a large dental bill, you know, you're going to pay off or whatever, maybe you can pay the amount, the minimum spend, pretty quickly. If you do that, you still have to wait till the end of that billing cycle before you're going to see the miles credited to your account. So that would be sort of the fastest, I would say, would be a month, right? If you can just take care of that minimum spend, you're done. But it's still a month out. If you are more like me and you're, you know, doing this over the month with your utilities and different regular spending, groceries and whatever else, going out to eat, then it may take you those 3 months, right? Or 2 months to do that minimum spend, at which point then you're looking at 3 months to 4 months before you're going to see those miles. So it's not an immediate turnaround.
Got it. So then how did you pass the 1,000,000 mile mark? What were you spending on it? How did you do that in such a quick amount of time?
Well, again, what it looks like is that because I'm a budgeter and I knew how much I spend every month, for example, with me, I know that since we're a household of three, we can easily run $3,000 through our credit cards without, you know, too much trouble. And that does not include mortgage, because a mortgage payment, you don't really want to do that on your credit card. There's fees associated with paying mortgages that way. So basically, once I knew that in a 3 month period, I could open, say, well, as many cards as required up to a $9,000 minimum spend total. I don't know if that makes sense, but I could put down, you know, $3,000 on a card every month. So that means I could open more than one card, because if one card was, you know, $1,000 minimum spend, another one is $3,000, another one might even only be $500 minimum spend. So actually, there were times when I first started this, I think the first time I did open like 5 cards. And there are some cards that you don't even need to do very much of a minimum spend, like just one charge, especially back then. And a lot of these waive the annual fee. There's less of that now, but back then they would waive the annual fee. So after that first run, I netted 300,000 miles, you know, by the beginning of month 4. So it might have even been almost 400,000. I just repeated that multiple times throughout the year. So that's how I crossed 1,000,000.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's incredible. So then with all, because you've tried a lot of different cards, what is your favorite card?
Every travel hacker, I feel like, pretty much says the same thing. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but many people love the Chase Sapphire Reserve, or rather the Chase Sapphire Preferred, because of the great travel rewards. You get 2 times the points for travel purchases and I think restaurants. And I did mention the Reserve off the bat. They're easily confused. There's 2 cards. The Preferred is $95 annual fee. The Reserve is much higher, I think at around $450 a year. Well, actually, the Preferred, it might be waived the first year. But the annual fee, even on the Reserve, is worth it because you get a lot of great travel perks, from airport lounges, free global entry. You also get a $300 travel credit back per year based on, you know, anything you might spend on airline flights and other travel costs. And that's per calendar year. So if you happen to open it mid-year, for example, you might pay that $450 annual fee, but you could get $300 travel credit back that calendar year. And then the next calendar year before your next annual fee, get another $300 travel credit. So you get your money back pretty quickly. So those cards are considered really excellent cards. And part of the reason why also is you can use those points and transfer them to hotel plans, airline mileage plans, the ones that they partner with. And that is really useful because you might need to top off some of your accounts in order to fly somewhere, for example. You might be short 10,000 miles. And, ooh, look, I could transfer these points over and now I can get my ticket. So it's also flexible currency in a sense. And that is part of why I think travel hackers love those kind of bank reward cards and the Chase Sapphire and Preferred and Reserves.
Thank you. Because I have a Chase card, but it's Chase United because I fly in and out of Houston. United's a hub there. It works well for me, but I've just heard so many great things about the Chase Sapphire Reserve that I'm really thinking about moving towards that one next year. I like the flexibility. I love all these perks and it kind of seems like it pays for itself in the end, especially if you travel a lot, which I do. So that one I am looking into.
Great.
For anyone interested in finding a travel reward card, what are some tips on how to research and pick the best travel card for themselves?
Yeah, so there's a lot of information out there. And I think the main thing is first to think about where it is that you want to go. For example, you were just mentioning that you like to fly United because of the hubs and all of that, right? We all have our airlines that we feel like serve us the best. For example, Alaska Airlines for me. And then, of course, we have those that we prefer. So there's that, right? But I actually start by thinking, where do I want to go? And I think once you know where you want to go, you can research which airlines will get you there, obviously. And also not to forget about the hotels, because I used to not care about the hotel cards until I found myself with like gold status with Hilton and randomly picked a hotel in Portugal to stay at because it was too hot in Spain. And we just randomly drove there and it was like 1500 euros a night for free. And we got to like live like the 1%, you know, for a few days. Anyway, so after that experience, I was like, ooh, maybe I should open these hotel cards. So researching which hotels might be in the cities that you're going to, even if it's just for a few nights, then you can start focusing in on which credit cards out there, you know, would be good to open. And I will say, though, one of my biggest tips is to start with Chase cards. And the reason why is they have what's called the 5/24 rule. 5/24. And what that means is they basically aren't going to give you any of their cards if you've opened more than 5 credit cards at all, any 5 credit cards in the last 24 months. So they've really tightened things down. I recommend looking at where you want to go, doing all the things I was talking about, but also keeping an eye on your Chase options because, you know, you might want to snag that Chase Sapphire Preferred card. You might want to grab that United card. They also have IHG, Marriott, Hyatt, Southwest. Just make sure that there aren't some choice cards that they have that you would want to get, because if you wait and do some other cards first, you may not be able to get the Chase cards later.
Oh, okay. Well, that is a great tip. I didn't know that. Question on the miles then. So you said you racked up 1,000,000 miles. Other than travel and hotel, were you using these miles on anything else?
Good question. So primarily, yes, hotel and airline. That is the main thing. And I tend to really value flights the most. So if I have bank reward cards like the Chase Sapphire, or for example, Citi Thank You Points or American Express membership reward cards, I will transfer those to airlines rather than even buying through their portals, because the value that you get is better. And it's too long to explain right now why. But so I'd say flights, number one, is what I use it on. Hotels, close second. I have occasionally used them in other ways, like on Airbnbs. You can have certain cards like the Venture, Capital One Venture card, where you can apply your quote unquote miles. They call them miles, but really you're just using them to erase travel purchases on your statements of your credit card statements. So Airbnb, I mean, I guess that's like hotel, but you know, usually you can only use your hotel points at a hotel, and we all love Airbnbs. And so it's nice to be able to use some of those kinds of more flexible rewards on things like Airbnb. One time I used some of my American Express membership rewards to get concert ticket. I'm trying to remember which it was. Beyonce. Okay. I'm just going to admit that right now. And I kind of splurged so that I could be like on the floor or whatever. And it was like the worst use of miles in terms of, I mean, the concert was great, don't get me wrong. But if you go by the dollar value, it was kind of silly that I did that. But I was just feeling like that's what I wanted to do. And honestly, the value is what it means to you, right? So it's like, I was super excited. I really wanted to be there. And I was like, you know what, this is going to help me do it. So it's totally worth it.
That is awesome. Yes. And I also read you've used your miles to upgrade to business, which is something I think about doing with my miles, but then I want to conserve them to use them on more coach flights and not just spend them all in one go on business. But tell us, was it worth it? How was it to upgrade to business?
So actually, I think I've only once upgraded to business, but what I have done is I use my miles just to purchase a business ticket, because to upgrade, you still have to pay money for that economy ticket. And quite honestly, I rarely ever pay for flights, ever. So I don't use them as much to upgrade, but I do fly business class when I can. And I will say that originally I did not. I have, again, there's three of us. And yeah, I definitely was keeping my miles. I'm like, you know, I can't afford to fly all of us business, like even with the amount of miles I have, or I didn't want to spend them all that way when I could definitely conserve by not doing that. But at some point, I think when I kept going over a million, because, you know, I just kept earning miles and points, I would spend a bunch and I kept getting more. And I realized, like, I don't know, I just got to this point where I thought, this is ridiculous. Like, I want to experience some of this luxury travel that I see all these people out there, like the Points Guy and Million Mile Secrets and Miles Mogul, like they're all in these amazing, you know, suites and stuff on these planes. And I'm like, I'm going to start doing that. And that was awesome and maybe slightly a little bit of a mistake, because once you do that, it's really hard to go back to economy. But I do still fly economy a lot. But yeah, I have loved it when I've flown business, especially here's a tip. I think people forget that you can actually use award seats to fly like one way. So what I'll do is I'll fly to my destination business class so that I can sleep better on the plane and arrive more refreshed. And then I book a separate flight back, just economy, because I kind of don't care. Like I'll go home tired. That's fine. That's a way to do it where it's like a partial luxury trip. And I think it's really worth it. And you know, I'm getting older. Honestly, like the older I get, I just am like, I don't want to show up haggard. I want to at least get a little sleep.
That makes sense. Yes, because it's a totally different experience flying in business than economy. You just end up at your location feeling like a totally different person.
Yes.
And so then with these miles then, do they expire? If so, what are ways around this? How does that work?
Yes, miles and points usually expire. There are some exceptions. For example, Delta miles don't expire ever, so you don't have to worry about it. Other types of points, for example, bank reward cards like the Chase Sapphire, they don't expire. However, that is as long as you have the card. And then, you know, most airlines, it's something like 2 years, it could be 3 years, but most of the time there are ways around it. You can do things like use your card again. If you still have the card, you can use the card to just buy a latte and that resets the time on your mileage plan or your point plan. There's lots of things you can do. I mean, you can sometimes purchase a few miles to keep it alive. Basically, it's based on what your last activity is. So as long as you generate a little bit of activity in your account, that will reset the clock. I know one time with my Alaska miles, I donated 5,000 miles to charity because they have a program to do that. And that was enough to reset the clock. So there are lots of articles out there on different creative ways to keep your miles from expiring. But one of the best tips is finding a way to track those. And I use awardwallet.com. You can enter in everything, all your mileage plans and hotel plans and bank reward plans into this one place, like a wallet. And when you log in, you see all of your balances for all your plans, and you can see the expiration date if you pay something like $5 to $10 a year, which I think is totally worth it. So that gives you a little alert, like, uh-oh, it's going to expire in a few months. And for me, I have so many different plans that this is the only way I can prevent things from going south. Oh, one other most important tip about not letting them expire. Biggest hack ever is use them.
Use the points, right?
Yes. Because I think, I mean, I say that and people are like, well, that's kind of obvious, but it isn't. My dad would hoard them. I have friends who hoarded them. I had a friend who was saving them to go to Peru and she didn't figure out her expiration date. And she went to book finally and she had none of them, 250,000 miles gone because she wasn't paying attention. And I think the main thing is to not hoard, but like go travel. That's what they're for. So I use my miles. Like I just dropped 600,000 miles earlier this year for a 2-week trip to Singapore, Bali, and Hong Kong that we're going on in September. You know, there was a moment where I'm like, this is nuts. But I thought, nope, I just, in that case, because I'll often like buy the little hopper flights between countries. But for whatever reason, I just had like 1,400,000. I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this. And I just did it. And, you know, it could have been tempting to be like, yeah, but I could just pay for it. And, you know, then I'd have, it's like, well, what am I waiting for? These places I've never been to, this is why I have these miles to do exactly this. So we got free hotel, like we're hardly spending anything at all. And we're like staying in high end, like Ritz-Carlton in Hong Kong, Conrad in Singapore, you know, we're going to Bali and staying in great places. And so I just say, go for it, use them, earn them and burn them.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You are living the dream. And I know you mentioned this before, but I feel like people listening are going to hear, oh my God, I got to open 5 cards or I should maximize the cards that I'm opening. And they're thinking about their credit score and debt and interest. So what are just some strategies and tips to keep credit scores healthy, stay out of debt and not pay interest?
Right. So the biggest tip I have is before you do any of this, really get familiar with your money and your spending and your finances, because unless you know what is realistic for you to spend every month, you're going to get into trouble quickly, right? Because you might overspend and carry a balance, and then you're going to start paying interest, and then you're going to start having debt. And so the main thing I usually tell people is, first of all, be sure to check your credit score, because a lot of these cards, they won't give them to you unless you have like 700 and up. So if you need to raise your score, that's important first. And then also really spend some time, if you're not a budgeter. People don't like that word budgeting, even though I see it like the ultimate path to freedom. But, you know, you don't have to get all uptight about it and, you know, start whatever we think budgeting means, you know, penny pinching. For me, it's like, I love budgeting because it shows me what I can do. It's like, shows me what power I have with my money. It's like, oh, I have this much to work with, you know? So using something like Navit, which is a great app to look at your money and pull in all your different bank accounts to just see what you spend every month, that is going to be critical, because then when you go into it, you're going to only open cards that you know you can pay off. Like you're only going to open the right amount of cards based on the minimum spends that you can afford to do, if that makes sense. So that is my first number one tip. Other than that, you know, there's other strategies that involve organization. And that's what I teach people like in my online course. And it's kind of a lot to go into here, but I share in that course a lot of things like, you know, spreadsheets and checklists and all kinds of things to help you stay on top of things and not have late payments. And I will say that I started with a low 700 score. I've opened, I don't even know how many cards. I want to say 80 to 100 open and closed or whatever over the last 7 years. And my credit score is up in the 800s. It's 810 last I saw. I think the highest it's gone is 820. I've never had a score like that. And that's simply because if it's not about how many cards you have open, it doesn't really actually hurt your score to open and close cards. What hurts your score is late payments and overutilizing the amount of potential credit you have. So I use very little of my potential credit. You know, I could charge 300,000, but I only use 1,000 or 2 every month. So that makes your score actually go up.
Wow. Oh my God. I just heard like 80 to 100 cards. I'm like, I didn't even know that was possible, but that is great to know that that's not hurting your score and that your score actually went up. So thanks for that insight. So other than travel hacking with points and miles, what are some other tips for making travel affordable?
Well, you know, that's why I have my podcast, because I really wanted to know. It was so funny. I mean, not that I don't have other tips on my own. I've traveled a lot in my life and I know how I've done that besides travel hacking the way that I do. But I really wanted to interview other women who have traveled a ton and found other ways besides travel hacking to keep it affordable. I've loved what I've been learning. For example, I didn't know about international pet sitting. I was like, wait, what? That's fascinating. Like, I can get a job somewhere watching a cat and stay in the house for free, often get like a car to use if they have a car. My friend stayed on a lake in Switzerland. I think it was the big one, Geneva, watching a cat. I mean, a cat is seriously low maintenance, right? So, I mean, this was like eye-opening to me. And then, you know, people told me about apps like Hopper. People often come up to me and say like, okay, so how do you, you know, where do you find cheap flights? And I literally look at them and go, I have no idea, because I don't pay for flights. Like, I use my miles. I mean, I pay like a little bit for taxes and fees, but I don't know. So I've been discovering things like Hopper, and I've been using Google Flights more because I did actually pay for a flight recently, a rare thing. So that's helpful. I've always been someone who maximizes like relationships that I have. And like, I have friends who live in South Africa and I've never been there, but I'm planning, like, if I'm going to make a trip to Africa, you bet I'm going to start with South Africa, because I know people there and they'll probably say, hey, why don't you come stay with us a couple nights? So I'm all about that. And then house swapping, I haven't done that, but I really want to look into that, because I have friends who did a whole year in San Miguel de Allende in Mexico, and that family they swapped homes with, they stayed up here in Seattle, and that was an incredible experience for them. There's so much you can do, right? And I think not forgetting that there's things like road trips. I mean, before I did all this international travel, my husband and I loved to do road trips. And when I lived in the Southwest for college, I was actually going to graduate school, we were in an amazing area, and we just spent so much time on the road driving through Four Corners and going to different national parks. And I just interviewed someone who's doing like all the national parks in a van. That's like her whole thing. So, you know, there's amazing trips you can do wherever you live, whether it's in the States or abroad. I'm always slightly envious of people like you who live in Europe, because you can hit a lot of countries in a very short radius, you know, small radius. Here, it's like I could drive for days and I'm still in the United States, but it's still pretty amazing in the United States. And it's, you know, I don't want to shortchange that. So those are some of the things, right? And I don't know, I think that's pretty much it. I feel like my podcast, though, there's like tons of, probably I'm forgetting some things. I mean, there's like workaways, you know, you can go work on farms, you can do volunteer stuff. There's so many things you can do to not have to pay like top dollar to travel.
Yes, there's a lot of options for people to take advantage. And we have some, like on the She Hit Refresh blog, we've given some examples too. So I'll include that link in the show notes. And then, okay, so we're getting towards the end, but I definitely want you to tell us about your podcast that you mentioned. You're having guests on that are sharing their stories and helping people travel. Let us know, what's your podcast called? Tell us about this award you just got and a little bit more about your journey podcasting.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so the Globetrotter Lounge is basically conversations with women who have found creative ways to travel more. And so I've interviewed a number of people, I think I'm up to 25 or 24 now, that are really amazing women like yourself who have just found phenomenal ways to get out there and be out in the world. And so I really would love, you know, if you guys want to listen to it, I'm just a facilitator for the stories. The stories are each incredible, including interviewing one woman who is 81 now, and she spent like 33 years without a permanent address traveling the world, Rita Golden Gilman. So lots of valuable information in my podcast. And generally, the podcast has been quite an experience for me. I started it because, you know, I was hoping to build an audience and, you know, have this online course and wanted to get it out there. But I also didn't want to just have a podcast where I was going on and on about miles and points. I just really thought, I have a lot to learn. There are people out there traveling in a way that I want to travel, which is longer stays or living abroad. You know, what I didn't realize was that by doing this, I was opening the door to just so many new experiences. I mean, first of all, I've met incredible people that I've had on the show. It's led me to go to travel conferences to kind of find people to interview. And those communities are amazing, like Women Travel Conferences, the Women in Travel Summit, which I just got back from, and Women's Travel Fest in New York every year. I've made a ton of friends and I've gotten really amazing opportunities. Like, I was offered a job as the podcast host for Navit, which is that great app that's all about managing your money. It's basically like Mint for women. And they have a lot of great articles that include travel. It's like kind of right up my alley, travel and finances and lifestyle and all that. So that just came from having a podcast. It's been really amazing. And I did get an award. I won the Wonderful Award at the inaugural Bessie Awards at the Women in Travel Summit. I was nominated by some members of the community. I think it was one of my guests. And then everybody voted, and I guess I won. And I was really humbled because it was, you know, there were incredible other brands that were up for that award. The award was basically going to a brand who has gone above and beyond to empower and represent women in the travel space. So I was very blown away. But yeah, I did not know a year ago or a little over a year ago when I started the podcast that all of this would happen from it. And I'm really loving podcasting.
That is so cool. Yes, I'm excited to see how your journey continues to unfold. And just quickly before we wrap up, I remember when we talked when I was a guest on your podcast, since, you know, this is the She Hit Refresh podcast, that you had some refreshed goals for later in your life. What are some of those that you can tell us about?
Yes, I'm over here smiling ear to ear because I'm just yeah, that's really what I want to do is get out there and do what you're doing. You guys are my heroes out there in that community. And I am part of the She Hit Refresh community. Well, ultimately would like to live abroad for at least a year. I did that when I was 19 and I would like to do it again. And it's been quite a few years. I don't even want to say how many since I was 19. So I'm ready to do that again. And I've made a little plan after talking with you. I realized I needed to get a little bit more concrete. And I thought, well, I keep talking about wanting to live in either Paris or Spain or Portugal, but I'm not taking any concrete steps. So I've decided that next year, I'm going to spend at least 1 month in one of those cities that I keep saying I want to live in. And I'm honing in right now on Lisbon. I might split the time between Lisbon and Porto, but I went to both those cities last summer. I have a connection there. And I was like, duh, I had this moment of wait a minute, I know someone there in Lisbon. And so I'm working on making that happen so that I can ultimately decide where I'm going to stay. So I probably will do one every year where I'm staying longer in one of those cities. I've already been to Paris so much. I know I want to be there, but it's super expensive. So I'm thinking that might be Portugal. Honestly, I'm really liking Portugal.
Lovely. And you're going to scope these countries out and then what? Move to one afterwards?
I'd like to ultimately be in one for at least a year. I don't think I would sell my house here, but maybe do a home swap or something like that if I can. But ultimately, within the next 3 to 5 years, that's the goal, is that I'd be staying for a year in one of those cities and those places. I do have, aging parents and things like that. So it's a little bit challenging, but I'm just going to keep moving towards it and just keep my eye on that goal. Even if it seems like, how will I do it? I'm just going to keep working towards it.
I love it. I love it. That's so exciting. Okay. Well, hopefully you pass through Spain too. I want to see you. I hope to meet you in person someday.
Yes, definitely. I study flamenco dance, so I will be in Spain at some point soon. You'll see me.
Great. Okay. So for our listeners, how can they learn more about you? Where can they find you? Can you tell us about your course again one more time? And of course, I'll include all of these links in the show notes for everybody.
Yeah. So you can find me. I have a website, jetsetlizette.com. And Lizette is spelled with an S, even though it sounds like a Z. So jetsetlizette.com. I'm also at jetsetlizette on, social media, Instagram, Twitter, on Facebook as well. And then my course is called Jet Set 101, Becoming a Travel Hacker. And you can actually access it from my website at jetsetlizette.com. And it is, I think pretty affordable, and you get a lot of great information on exactly how I've taken steps to rack up so many miles and points. And you get access to me through the course. You can post questions and see what other people have been asking and what my responses have been. So it's one of those things that I think is just a good resource because it can get pretty big. It's kind of a big topic. And so I think my students have really appreciated having something they can go back to and refer back to and then ask questions on an ongoing basis.
Perfect. Oh, Lizette, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your knowledge about travel hacking with us. Hopefully our audience learned quite a few tips here and have some insight on how they can get started on getting their own travel reward points. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right. I hope you enjoyed this episode and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. If we provided any value for you, we'd love it if you gave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. If you'd like to connect with She Hit Refresh, please join us in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/She Hit Refresh. You can also check out our blog for more tips and tricks to hitting refresh, and that's at shehitrefresh.com. And you can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at She Hit Refresh.